I'd like to say something that's a little bit difficult to talk about at this time, and it has to do with Krishna leaving Vrindavan. And I get the strength to speak about this because in Gopal Champu, Srila Jiva Goswami describes how the two great devotees who were previously Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they spoke about this pastime in front of all the Brijbasis, because everything to do with Krishna has such a different varieties of sweetness attached to it, different flavors of sweetness, and they turn rasa in the hearts of those who have a taste in Krishna consciousness. So before we begin this little katha, please think of your favorite form of Krishna, either a picture or a deity or who your worshipful Krishna is. Just think of him and keep him in your heart. Of course, when you have Krishna, even though I'll speak a little bit now, but you keep Krishna in your heart. You keep Krishna in your heart, and don't be distracted by my words, please. But Krishna, when you have Krishna, because Krishna is never alone. That's Mayavad philosophy. Krishna is never alone. He's always with in the land of Vrindavan, with the Yamuna flowing. Giriraj Govardhan is there, and the cows are there, and the gopas are there, and the gopis are there, and Srimati Radharani is there. Everyone is there, because there is no thought in the Brijbasis' minds other than this most beautiful, supremely beautiful, unlimitedly beautiful boy who has attracted everyone's heart and fully attracted their full consciousness by the way he deals, how he looks, his sweetness, especially Madhuram, Madhuram, Vapavasya Madhuram, the sweetness of his smile. He is all attractive. He's attracted everyone's heart. And as Maharaj had said earlier, this is in his home. So those in his home, the most trusted and beloved persons, souls, energies, his most beloved devotees, intimate associates, they love him so completely. But then, as is described in the 38th chapter of the 10th canto, then it was time for Krishna to wind up his Vrindavan pastimes. So looking at it from the point of view of tattva, of philosophical truth, it was the time for him to wind up his pastimes. But when Narada Muni, Srila Narada Muni, told this to Krishna, Krishna wasn't very happy with this at all. Because he had to leave home. He had to leave his most beloved devotees. So by the arrangement of Narada Muni, by the arrangement of Krishna, Narada Muni also told Kamsa, and Kamsa told Kamsa about who Krishna actually was, that this boy is actually the person who is meant to kill you, and he's killed all those demons, those asuras, rakshasas who you sent to kill the children of Braja. He has killed them all, each and every one of them. It is Krishna and Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj have cheated you. They had sent this boy away out of Mathura to protect him. They have cheated you. So Kamsa, of course, was furious, and he put Vasudev and Devaki in prison again, because he knew that if they were in prison, then Krishna would have to come to protect them, and that way he would lure them back to Mathura, and his plan was to kill Krishna. When Akura finally came and told Krishna and Balaram of Kamsa's plans to kill him by having a Dhanurjagya, the great bow sacrifice. Krishna and Balaram simply laughed. They laughed. But the next morning, Krishna had mounted the chariot and was the new chariot that was brought by Akura on the request of Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan to Mathura, and Kamsa was thinking to his death. This most beautiful boy was about to leave and he had mounted the chariot already. And the Nanda Maharaj was also going to go to pay his taxes in Vrindavan, and they left by bullock cart. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men and cowherd boys left by bullock cart. And they went on a very straight road to Mathura. But when Krishna was leaving, the Braja Gopis, they felt the greatest distress. We can't, of course, imagine the depth of the spiritual emotions that they were feeling. But yet, even by meditating on this pastime with whatever consciousness we have, Krishna, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, not in this pastime, but at a different place, makes the comment that we have material minds. And how can we actually conceive of the transcendental beauty of Krishna with a material mind, because the material mind only has material conceptions in it? How can we conceive of what is unlimited beauty with a finite, small, petty material mind that only has perceived material beauty, while Krishna is unlimitedly, transcendentally beautiful? So although we don't actually see Krishna when we think of Krishna, unless Krishna, like the holy names, descends into our consciousness, but yet Krishna perceives this in a very bhava grahi janardana way. He perceived this as, oh, my devotee is thinking about me, and he is pleased. And he benedicts the devotees. So the Braja Gopikas were crying and crying. He was their Prananath. Prananath means what? Huh? He was their life itself. So what is the body like when the life leaves the body? It is dead. So Krishna was their life. He was the Lord of their life. And to conceive of him leaving left them experiencing what death was like. Having their bodies went completely stunned and numbed, and tears were pouring from their eyes. They wanted to lie down in front of the chariot wheels. But yet the chariot moved on. The chariot moved on, and the gopis stood, unable to move, just like painted pictures have no ability to move because they're painted pictures. So when Krishna was leaving, the gopis could just cry. What were they singing? Govinda Madhava, Govinda Damada Madhaveti. And they were just calling out the names of Krishna. So see, even the Braja Gopikas, even the residents of Vrindavan, they're calling out the names of Krishna. It's not just the beginner's path. This is from the beginning to the very end. It's the names of Krishna, Krishna, Abhinatvam Namanamano. So, there is one verse that Srila Sukadev Goswami says, Santavayam Ashasa Premna. While they were leaving, Krishna, with Premna means with love. He santavayam means he pacified them. He made them more peaceful. He kept them alive by saying, Ayasya iti dautika. He sent a messenger back. He knew the state of the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis especially. So with words filled with love, he sent back a messenger to tell them that Krishna says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Ayasya. I will return. I'm coming back. Pasun, maybe, or the day after tomorrow, or the day after, I'm coming back. And these words, our acharyas explain, kept the gopis alive. But the consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan is so difficult to understand. The depths and completeness of their love for Krishna is so difficult to understand. Naturally, we would think they were kept alive by the hope, oh, Krishna's going to return, and therefore we'll be able to see Krishna again. Naturally, this is what we would think. But this wasn't at all what the gopis were thinking. And this wasn't at all what kept them alive. What kept them alive was the thought that if Krishna comes back in one day or 2 days or 3 days, and we cannot live without him, and we die, he's going to feel so bad. He's going to feel, oh, look what I have done. I have... These Brijbasis have given everything to me, and I just left, and because of that, they're dead. They've died. And we don't want to cause Krishna any distress at all. We don't want Krishna to suffer the slightest unhappiness. So therefore, ayasya iti dokti kai, with his prem-filled words, love-filled words, through the messenger to them, they were kept alive, not wishing to cause Krishna any difficulty at all. This is prema bhakti. This is the highest ideal that we keep upon our heads. And Akura left with the chariot. And the chariot went down this road and that road and this road and that road because he didn't want the residents of Vrindavan to follow him, to follow the chariot, because he had a mission. He wanted Kamsa killed in Mathura. So he went this way and that way and this way on the chariot. And therefore it took a long time for Krishna to arrive in Mathura. There are quite a few reasons why it took a long time. One is that Akura took a zigzag path. And another reason is they stopped at the river. Which river? Jamuna River. And Akura bathed. And in the river, in the Jamuna, at a place called Akuragat, which is just where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left Vrindavan, where he crossed the river. And it is just the same place where Krishna took the residents of Vrindavan when they were wondering what will be our fate after, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, what will be our fate? Will he give us liberation? They were thinking like this. Because they had such special consciousness filled with love for Krishna. So at that place where Krishna brought them and gave them the experience of the ecstasy of Brahmananda, of the ecstasy of Sayujya Mukti, and he took them out, and then he revealed his place of Vaikuntha Goloka. At that place, Krishna revealed to Akura his forms as Vishnu, and Balaram was Anantashesha. And then when Akura came, he offered prayers, wonderful prayers. But his prayers, by which he achieved perfection, could not even be compared to the prayers that the gopis called out to Krishna while he was leaving, which are like chastisements. How could you leave us? How could you do this? You're so cruel, and Akura is taking you. But when Akura came back and saw Krishna and Balaram in the chariot again, after taking his bath, he looked at them with, because he had just seen them as Garbhadakshai Vishnu and Ananta Shesha, and he was astounded. So Krishna very cleverly asked him, "Oh, uncle, have you seen something in the water that has made you look like with such wonderment, with such?" And Akura very intelligently replied, "Now I am seeing you, which is the source of Garbhadakshai Vishnu. What more wonderful thing could I have seen? Can I see?" So, and then Krishna goes on, and Krishna willing, we shall continue.